We have in this week's parasha, Machshefa Lo Sechaya, which, you know, we have this concept when we're little of a witch, you know, a witch who flies on a broomstick and has like a hooked nose and, you know, a funny pointy hat. And I'm sure a lot of these things, by the way, are based on real history. You know, it's very interesting if you ever can figure out where these things come from. A lot of times they come from real places. Like, for example, I'll bring you an example. Dracula, for example. Vampires who eat blood. There's a whole Ramban who talks about different kochos hatumah that you can get through eating blood. And most certainly, wherever these things were legends, they were probably real at one time. There were people doing these things and creating certain kochos. If you look at medieval books, there are goblins, you know, on the pages. I don't even know, even in Svarim, they have these goblins. You ever see this? Very, very interesting. Lamaisa, it's based on the Svarim. It's clear that earlier times, there were different kochos atoma that I believe it wasn't that they were primitive, these people, even though certain parts of their lives were primitive. There were different kochos at different times. There were things that really were happening over there. The Emes LeYaakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, says something fascinating. He says that in every generation, based on the level of Kedusha, is how much Tumah there is. So originally, when Klal Yisrael had Nevuah, there was the Koach HaTumah of Avodah Zarah. And Avodah Zarah was very, very attractive. Very, very attractive. Because you needed something to counter the Kedusha of prophecy. Prophecy was spiritual ecstasy, where a person would literally be connected to Hashem in a total communication. Incredible. And Avodah Zarah was a way of channeling spiritual energy to reach a high that was cheap, because it wasn't earned, but it was a spiritual high that was rivaling prophecy. And at that time, when people could access that Kedusha, there was enough waves of Tumah in the world that you could catch on to the Avodah Zarah. We don't understand why anyone would bow to any specific stone or to make a big house for the sun. But in those days, they knew how to channel the energy, the sun, is the most impressive creation that Hashem made. I mean, it's unbelievable. You can't even look at the thing. Imagine you could channel the energy of that sun and just try to zone in and grab all the spirituality that's coming out of that sun. You can get a lot, and you don't have to follow mitzvos. You don't have to do anything. You can do whatever you want and get that high of spirituality. So then once prophecy stopped, this Reb Tzadok HaKohen says as well, so then the world changed in another way. We went down to what's called Ruach HaKodesh. We went down to Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is also a message from Shemayim, but it's more subtle. And against that was Shadim, demons. There was a Koach HaTumah in the world of Shadim. We know that there was even Shadim that were waiters at the tables of the Tanaim. Right? There were different Shadim that were actually, there were good Shadim, there were bad Shadim. There were these Kochos HaTumah. Then, as things lowered and there was even less Ruach HaKodesh, you could possibly have a Dibuk. A Dibuk is a Koach HaTumah where a neshama could jump into a person. And this is where all the Hollywood, this is where all the Narishkeit of Hollywood is based on things. There's things called exorcisms, right? They used to have these horror films about exorcisms, removing these things. These were based on real concepts that really did happen, where their neshama could just do a takeover. And during the Chafetz Chaim's time, it's Yadua, there was an episode of a Dibuk. It was recorded. Rav Elchanan Wasserman was in the room, and when he came to America, he told it over, and he would say it over once a year, the experience he had when the Chafetz Chaim removed the Dibuk from this person. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is mesupak if there could ever be a dibuk again, because the level of Kedusha now is so much lower that what are the odds? But he does leave an interesting line. He says, maybe in Eretz Yisrael there could be one. So we see over here that there's like levels of Kedusha in the world and levels of Tumah. And the levels of Tumah are real. They're real forces in the world. And what's interesting is that a lot of times we're impressed by things that work. We assume if something works, it's good. But that's not necessarily true. If something works, there are two options of why it works. Either it's mikoach hakdusha, or it's mikoach hatoma. The Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem, his definition of kishuf, his definition of black magic, is using the names of malachim. What people would do is, Hashem created a world with like a whole system where Hashem is in control of everything, but he wanted that, the Derech Hashem says, he wanted that there should be levels of how things work. Then Hashem created a malach, and then this malach goes down to this malach, this malach goes down to this malach, this malach goes down to this malach, and then he does something down here on planet Earth. Hashem wanted a whole process in order that we could handle all the Kedusha. Hashem made level after level after level that this world could look the way it does, and we could feel like we have elbow room to do what we want. So he made a whole process of bigger malachim, smaller malachim, all the way coming down to us. There's a system. So the Derech Hashem says, some people don't want to deal with Hashem. So you know what they try to do? They try to get a malach to be on their team. And they call the malach instead of calling Hashem. And it can work. Hashem empowered people that if they say the name of certain malachim, they can achieve a certain result. It's like, why do I have to go down, up the whole elevator to Hashem and daven? Let me just find a malach. I'm a human being who's a tzelem elokim. I have powers. Hashem empowered me. And they abuse their power by saying the names of malachim to achieve certain results. That is called witchcraft according to the Derech Hashem, which is very strange. Because you can have somebody who looks very holy, who's not even saying anything that's against our religion. He's even quoting names of malachim that can be found in the Zohar, that can be found in Shas, and it seems like a very religious experience. And nevertheless, what we're seeing in front of us is an experience of black magic. And it's very important to realize this, because what happens is that, you know, when I was younger, I was exposed. I was definitely in a more, like, a wealthier crowd. Somehow the wealthy tend to hang around all the popular Kabbalists. It's like a thing you do when you're wealthy. It shows how mindless and scared all these wealthy people are with all their big deals. At the end of the day, they want some, like, vision to just tell them where to invest. A lot of them, that's how they function. They have no idea what they're doing. They just, like, want this holy man to tell them what to do. So I've seen a lot of these people. And it's very, very interesting what they're doing. There could be people who are flat-out charlatans. A flat-out charlatan is somebody who deep down knows he's fooling you. He knows he's fooling you. And he's just doing it in different ways. But he really has no idea what he's doing. But he's managing to just take advantage of people in a very precarious situation. Fragile people. When people have a crisis, they tend to look towards anyone who will help them. So if the rabbi claims that he has an answer to their problems, so then they're naturally going to go to him, of course, with a hefty price. You know, you have to pay the rabbi for that, which is always a very big simon of something very fishy. It should not cost money to go to any rav. It does not cost money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah for free. Mahu b'chinam, afata b'chinam. Doesn't cost money to go to a rav, right? But you can have those types, or you can have people who, even if they're well-intentioned, which actually makes it even more misleading, they're actually well-intentioned, but the way they're doing things is they opened up various books, and they're doing all sorts of interesting things, and they're yielding results, and they're bringing proofs from their results that they're connected to Hashem. Results do not prove that a person is connected to Hashem. Results just prove that a person knows how to manipulate the Bria. And you could have people who are really Bali Kishuf. I once was with someone in a hotel. These Kabbalists hang out in hotels, right? There's usually like a Gvir who gets them a room, and then he brings all of his Gvir friends on Sukkot to come to the room. And he was making very fast lines on a page like this, very fast. And he was started saying interesting things, you know, this and that. And they had mashmos to them. Seemed like they were all totally insignificant things, but they could have been. They were like, "Whoa! The rabbi knows that I broke my. I got a flat tire last week. So, I see you got a flat tire last week. On your tire, your front left tire." You're like, oh. Right? So when I learned Maseches Avodah Zarah, I saw in the Beis Yosef that there's a certain mahalach in being megala atidus through drawing lines very fast. And it's an Isser Daraisa to do such a thing. So whether the rabbi actually, maybe he really did know that I got a flat tire on the right side. But that's exactly the law of Kishuf. A lot of people don't understand that's exactly the point over here. So to go further with this though, a lot of people think that being a mekubal means that you can do these types of things. It's not true. Actually, Rav Yaakov Hillel, who's one of the, perhaps, I don't know if I can say, I don't know enough to say the greatest, but certainly the greatest Rosh Yeshiva in Kabbalah today is Rav Yaakov Hillel. And he wrote a book that was translated into English. In Hebrew it's called Tamtiyah. In English it's called Faith and Folly, where he talks about the misconceptions about Kabbalists. He says that what's the whole purpose of getting a bracha from a mekubal? One thing and one thing only. That the koach bracha comes from how much Torah you learn. That's where the bracha comes from. The Gemara says that if you have a cholah bebeischa, yelech etzel chacham. You should go to a chacham that he should daven for you. Why a chacham? Because the kedusha of his Torah is part of his persona. And everything he does, everything that chacham does, is actually connected to the Torah he learns. It's connected to that Torah. So that's why you go to a chacham. Now he says, if someone knows the deeper parts of the Torah, then their bracha includes the depth of all of that Torah as well. It's even a more intensified bracha. And that's why you go to a mekubal. You would go to a mekubal because he not only has mastered the area of nigla, but he's mastered the area of nisr. Right? It's kind of funny. People who claim that they know nisr, but they don't know nigla. Right? They once brought a very impressive mekubal to the Bris Gerav, and he spoke with him in learning. So they asked the Bris Gerav, what do you think of this man? So he said, I don't know if his nister is as bad as his nigla. Then, you know, you speak to the guy in nigla, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He definitely doesn't know what he's talking about in nister. By the way, it's a great trick for an Amma Aretz. What's a great trick? You can become a mekubal. Why? No one can argue with you. If you're saying pshat in a Rashi, so someone can see how ridiculous the pshat is, right? Because you read the Rashi. But if they take out Kisvei Ari and they go, you see? Then you don't see. You're not going to be able to argue on them. They don't know either. They have no idea what they're talking about, but nobody can argue on them. So you have a lot of these types who are faking people out. But not only are they faking people out, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a system of tmimus. Tamim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha means that of course there are things in the world that are tempting. And it even yields some results. But those results will not get you to the end game. They will not get you where you need to go. They're tempting because they work. That's the shita of the Ramchal. The Ramchal shita is that these things are effective, but they're effective as being a terrible thing, just like Avodah Zarah was effective at its time. The Rambam's position on this is not that way. The Rambam's position is that all of these things in black magic are absolute narishkeit. However, the Vilna Gaon in his Perish, the Bir Agra on Shulchan Aruch, uncharacteristically, literally clobbers the Rambam for his mahalach over here. He says over there, he has an attack on the Rambam, even though he held of the Rambam on in Shir. But in this area, he said the Rambam was influenced by Aristotle, and he says it's not true. Every single part of black magic is real. It's a real metzias. It's a real a thing in the world. And he says that they were already clapped him on his head for saying this before. So it's just something, you know, we think this is not relevant today. It is relevant. And I'll tell you something interesting. There are certain people who have kochos. We assume, and this is what Kupat Ha'ir does, if somebody has kochos, they put on their hamakubal, whatever. Because, whoa, how'd the rabbi know that? That's not true. There's nothing to do with Kabbalah. It says, kol alomei Torah l'shma, zocha l'dvarim harveh. Whoever learns Torah l'shma is zocha to higher things. That's not Kabbalah. That's called lomei Torah l'shma, zocha l'dvarim harveh. The Chazon Ish wasn't zocha to his madregas of Ruach HaKodesh because of Kabbalah. It was zocha to it because of his amelus b'Torah. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Yibana L'Chaim Tovim, it's not because of Kabbalah. We think anything spooky and otherworldly is called Kabbalah. It's not true. I once spoke to Rav David Abu Chatzera, and he told me something, an amazing thing. He said, why is he able to have, he once told me, privately actually, he told me this privately. He said, if I could tell people what I see about them, I would overwhelm them. So I don't tell them what I see. This is what he told me. He says, if I would tell people, I was with him the first time I met him, he started going over all the dominant traits of my father, and me, we just started crying. It was really, really intense. He said he was waiting, he knew he was going to have a meeting with us today, and he set the table for it, and then we became close for many years. But he told his son that there are people here we're going to have a kesher with for many, many years, and he starts going through all these various things. It was really, really a lot. So he told me something interesting once. There was a yard site of the Baba Sali, and he was saying that he believes his kochos come from being part of the Abu Chatzera family. He says, just because he's part of a legacy of people with tremendous kochos, he was given certain gifts. And I read once, Rishimshin Pinkus was commenting about this, that there could be people with kochos in the world. And sometimes kochos are used for good, and sometimes kochos are used for bad. I was once with somebody who I believe did have kochos. Very impressive. He was able to read names, be able to say things, and he's a Talmud Chacham. But I concluded that the person, after having a kesher with him for a few months, I concluded that the person was crooked. A nice guy, but I think he abused his talent. He had a certain talent, an interesting talent, but he abuses it. He abuses it. It's something that always could ride on it's on a tightrope, these types of things. So I'm just trying to explain to you, this is the message of Rabbi Yaakov Hillel. There, a lot of times people think they're doing something religious. Actually, one time, there was a man, he would say all of Tehillim at night. He has a kolel, a chatzos, and he was saying all sorts of fantastic things, and people were taking him to business deals with them. They were very impressed with him. And I was very upset about some of the things that he was saying. And I told him, I'm going to take you to Rav Gamliel Rabinovich. All of a sudden, he gets like a little limela. He goes, Rav Gamliel's a big Rav. Ani Rav Katan. So I wanted to say to him, you're a Rav Katan. You're busy marching around the United States, telling everybody what to do, how to do it. All of a sudden, I say, I want to just bring you to Rav Gamliel. He gets all scared. It's a shvach on him that he got scared, Bichlal. But he became a little nothing. Why? Because he knew this whole thing. Then he starts telling me that he got nervous. He started getting nervous. He started saying the name Gittel has the word get in it. and he doesn't know Yiddish. Gittel's a good word. It's a nice name. But I remember how scared he got. I could not believe how scared he got, because I really was upset that he I felt that he was really misleading people. And then the other person, he was saying Divrei Torah over and over and over, and everyone was eating it up, and every Dvar Torah that he said, I held was a Krum Dvar Torah. So now we're getting advice from someone that's saying Vard after Vard, and every one of them I would disagree with. Like, why does he Zochet have a channel to Shammai? Like, what exactly? He's definitely not in the schlis of the Vertlach that he's saying right now. So we should realize, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Lekecha, if a person wants to have bracha in their life, the best thing to do is to do mitzvos. Mitzvos are a guarantee. The Chafetz Chaim would say that he doesn't know why people are coming to him. Of course, you should go to the Chafetz Chaim. But he's saying he doesn't know why. If people would realize the bracha of learning Torah, they would realize that they're surrounded by bracha. As I once heard from the Skulena Rebbe, said, people come to me for brachas and they have a television in their house. He once said this, I was in the room. He says, what do they want me to say to them? Lebracha v'leklala. L'chayim v'lemaves. He says, why don't they realize that a life of Kedusha is what brings bracha? We should all be zocha to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Realize that Hashem created a whole system in this world from top to bottom so we can get close to Him. So that we can live in times that are clear to us, times that are challenging that we might not have answers, but to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always the best one to be depending on. He'll never let us down. Shall have a great Shabbos.